Up here real quick and we'll get started. All right. We're starting a couple minutes early, but that's all right because we're here. We might as well get going. And we're going to sing some choruses tonight and worship the Lord for a while. And of course, after that, we're going to get into the Word. And we're hoping for a wonderful time in the Lord tonight. But before we do anything, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking for thy perfect will to be done. We pray that thou wouldst abide over this entire service here tonight. Help us, inspire us as we worship thee. Help us to truly give thee our hearts. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst guide and direct us every step of the way. Let each and every moment we are here be given to thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst truly inspire us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing some choruses tonight, and I think we'll probably just be staying in the chorus book for this occasion. The song service, I think, is going to be a little shorter than usual because we got a lot of ground to cover in the scriptures tonight. You'll see what I mean when we get there. But in the chorus book tonight, why don't we start with number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord, and our God truly is great. There is none greater. Praise the Lord. We don't have to worry about there being some other God out there greater than our God, because there is none greater than our God, and there are no other gods. Praise the Lord. There's only one. Why don't we go to number 34 and sing, How Great is Our God, because He truly is great. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. Just put your trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the most important thing you can do. Put your trust in the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we, let's see if I can find it. There's one I was thinking of. Yes, number 169 in the chorus book. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord. And his mercies do extend to all generations, even to this generation today. I am so thankful for the mercies of the Lord. We would be helpless without them, wouldn't we? Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. We'll do that. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy sustaining power. We thank thee for having kept us here for so long. For we know that we would be completely helpless without thee, and we thank thee for thy many blessings. We ask for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for the cause of thy kingdom. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I have a prayer request here. It's from the Foast family, and they would like prayer. I guess Sophia and Gabby were in a car accident. Someone ran a red light and pushed them into someone's front yard, and they missed hitting two houses, I guess, and a couple of trees. They have minor injuries, but I'm sure they're very shook up, and the car, unfortunately, is totaled, so they would like prayers regarding these matters. Nick hit his head at work and is sore. Chris is sick, and I guess Tori is shook up, so we're going to go ahead and pray for all of them right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight for the Foast family, asking, O God, that thou wouldst be with them, comfort them, help them, strengthen them, give them the wisdom they need to deal with these recent problems that have crept up. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst provide a new vehicle to replace the one that has been totaled. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst comfort the family in the wake of this accident. We ask that there would be no lasting injuries, but that thou wouldst heal them completely, be with them and help them and guide them. Comfort them, we pray. We ask for a healing touch for Nick. Having just hit his head, we ask that thou wouldst heal him completely and that there would be no lasting effects from that. We pray for Chris that thou wouldst heal him from his sickness. And we pray, O God, for this entire family that thou wouldst comfort them in this time of distress. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing maybe one or two more songs, and then after that, we're going to get started in the Word. Actually, why don't we go ahead and sing? Well, we haven't sang this one in a while. Number 176, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for that glory that fills our soul, that Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost, comes to dwell inside us. Praise the Lord. In fact, we are assured that we can overcome this evil world we live in because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Why don't we go to number 180 and sing that chorus? Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I am so thankful for that assurance. He promised He'd never leave us. Glory to God. Well, it's time to get started in the Word. And we're going to be doing something, Lord willing, that I've wanted to do for quite a while. It might be a little bit of a challenge. But tonight, we are going to read the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Psalm 119. Before I read even one verse, though, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking, O God, that Thou be with us as we study Thy Word. We ask for Thy inspiration, Thy guidance, Thy direction. We ask for Thy Holy Ghost to move in a powerful way, move upon us, impress upon us the importance of Thy Scripture and Thy Word tonight, Lord. Let Thy Word come alive in our heart. Make us come alive, Lord, for we know that only in Thee do we have life, and we pray that Thou abide over this entire study. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this chapter, it's not really a chapter, it's a psalm actually. It's actually a poem, a very, very long one. It's 176 verses. Divided up into stanzas, and each stanza has 8 verses. Now, it's an acrostic poem, and each stanza has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes through the entire Hebrew alphabet. Your Bible actually may have those subtitles in Psalm 119. You may see some of those, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and so forth. Those are all letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But there's a lot of symmetry here in this psalm, and it is entirely about the importance of obeying God's commandments, the importance of studying His Word, of following His Word, of reading His Word. It's all about His Word and His commandments, and that's an important thing for us to lay hold on even today. So we're going to look at Psalm 119 and start with verse 1. In verse 1 it tells us, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Now, at the very outset, I just want to say that there's only one way we can be undefiled, and that is if we have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, if He has made us clean. That's the only way we can be undefiled, because He washes away all the filth and all the garbage out of our lives, and that's the only way we can be clean. Verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." You know, when you follow God, you can't do it halfway. You can't do it just part of the way. You have to give him your whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. And when it says heart there, it's not referring to that organ beating in your chest. It's referring to the very core of your being, your innermost being, the very heart of your soul, your very core. You need to give him your whole heart. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Oh, isn't that interesting? It tells us in verse 3 that those who keep his commandments, those who keep his word, those that seek him with a whole heart, they do no iniquity. I know that these days people like to make excuses for themselves and say, hey, we're all sinners, you know, but I believe it's not impossible to stop sinning. God wouldn't ask us to do something that is impossible. And it tells us in the scriptures that we need to refrain from sin. And I tell you what, if we ever do fall and do sin, it should always be an accidental thing for a Christian. It should never be a premeditated, intentional thing. If someone is out there committing premeditated, intentional sins, then I don't believe they're really Christians. You know, my dad used to say, if you plan to sin, you plan to go to hell. And that's the way it is. But it tells us here in verse 3 that those who seek the Lord with their whole heart, they don't do iniquity, they're not sinful. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. You know, if you keep the Lord's statutes, if you keep his commandments, if you obey him, then one day, when you stand before the Lord Jesus in judgment, all your sins will be washed away. They'll be washed in his blood. They'll be gone. And you'll have nothing to be ashamed of when you stand before the Lord. Isn't that something to look forward to? You don't have to hang your head. You won't have anything to be ashamed of because your sins are washed away. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. And that was the first stanza. And in that stanza we see the importance of keeping the Lord's commandments, of obeying him. And we know that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And if we truly love the Lord, as so many people claim, if we truly love him, that's how we show our love for him, by keeping his commandments. Those who do not keep the Lord's commandments do not really love him, despite what they might say. I'm going to continue on now in verse 9, which tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way, or anybody for that matter, old, young, middle age? How can we cleanse our ways? What can we do to be cleansed of our sins? Well, in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We draw nigh to God. How do we do that? We open up his word. We study his word. We get into the presence of the Lord. In fact, the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the word. And when you read this word, his word comes alive in your heart. That's how we cleanse our ways, by reading the scriptures, the word of God, and obeying his commandments, including the commandment that we must repent of our sins and be baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how we are cleansed. In fact, in verse 9, what does it say? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, by obeying the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And if you want to make sure you don't wander from his commandments, if you want to make sure you don't wander from the word of God, keep reading it. Never stop. And each time you read the word of God, you'll learn something new. But when you deprive yourself by not reading the scriptures, you start to starve spiritually. In a spiritual sense, you are starving to death when you don't have the Word of God, because this Word feeds our soul. Verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We need to have this Word hidden in our very heart, written upon the tables of our heart, so that we know the Scriptures, so that we know what the Word of God says. And when temptation comes our way, and when we're tempted to fall into sin, whatever that may be, we have the strength to overcome it, because we have the Lord's Word, God's Word, hidden in our hearts. Verse 12, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. And precepts, that's another word for laws or commandments. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. See how important it is that we do not forget his word. When his word is written on the tables of our heart, the tablets of our heart, when it's written in there by the very hand of God himself, we're not going to forget him. But we need to make sure we continue to study the word as often as we can so that we don't lose this, so that we never forget his word. And that was the second stanza. Verse 17, Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Doesn't that sound familiar? You know, as Christians, we don't fit in, we don't belong. The scriptures tell us that we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. But we are strangers, we are pilgrims, we don't fit in. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. And we're not of this world either, we're just here for a little while. As representatives of the Lord Jesus, we have a job to do until that fine day when we dwell in eternity. But in the meantime, we are strangers in the earth. So, if you ever feel like you don't fit in, well, that's okay. In fact, that's the way it should be. As Christians, we're called to be nonconformists. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Notice the proud. Pride is never spoken of in the scriptures as being a good thing. It's always in a negative light. When we see pride referred to in the scriptures. And what do they say out in the world today? Oh, they're so proud of this or that. Proud to be gay. They got their gay pride. Or they're proud of their flag. Or whatever the case may be. Proud of this, proud of that, proud of themselves. But pride is never a good thing. In fact, verse 21 of Psalm 119 says that the proud are cursed. And they err from the commandments of God. Verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. You know, we don't just read the word. We ponder it. We think about it. We meditate on the word of God, his commandments, his statutes. All of the verses in the Old Testament and in the New, it's good to meditate on Scripture, to think about it. Let it sink down into your hearts. Verse 24, Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And verse 25 tells us, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. What does quicken mean there? Quicken means to be made alive again. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are spiritually dead and they don't even know it. They need to be quickened by the Spirit of God, just as we were quickened by the Spirit of God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it tells us, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." We have been quickened by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, that Holy Ghost. When we obey his commandments, when we go down in that water in his name and we're cleansed, he quickens us, he makes us alive. Praise the Lord. Verse 25, I'll read that again. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." You know, God's works are wondrous, and there should be something to talk about when we're serving the Lord. The miraculous things of God, the good things of God, the way he's helped us, all that he's done for us. We have something to talk about, don't we? His wondrous works. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." And God can strengthen us. You know, when you look around at the world and see all the horrible things that are happening, there's some heaviness there, isn't there? But we can be strengthened. We can be refreshed when we get in the word of God, when we sing his praises, when we pray, when we worship the Lord. That heaviness, it turns to joy. And he strengthens us. How does he strengthen us? Well, we study his word. There is strength in that. "Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." That's why it's so important to study the word of God. Without studying the word of God, we won't have that strength we need to overcome. "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." Notice God's people, they don't lie. Lying is never acceptable. I don't believe even little white lies are acceptable. "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." What is the way of truth? Well, I'll give you a hint. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is the way of truth. That is the way of his commandments. That is the Lord Jesus. He is the way. He is the door. He is the path we need to be on. He is that way. And he is the way we need to be going, following the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies." Praise the Lord. I like the way he words that. "Stuck unto thy testimonies." Thy testimonies, as if to say God's testimonies, as if to say God's word, is stuck to my very being, to my very heart. "O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." Praise the Lord. He does give us the wisdom we need and the understanding we need to keep his commandments, to understand his scriptures. We couldn't do it without his help. "Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Again, he's asking the Lord to quicken him, to make him alive. And, you know, there is a lot of vanity in this world, vain things, things that in the big scheme of things mean nothing. But if you want to make sure you're not wasting time, study the word. Study the word so much that it's written on the very tables of your heart. "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." He was longing after those precepts. What did Jesus say? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. You know, all of the answers we need to every conflict in this world, every troubling thing we might encounter, all of the answers we need are in this book. They are in the Word of God. And we might not always know where, but when you pray and seek the Lord, He will reveal His Word to you. And He will give you the solution you need to whatever problem you may be facing. Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. You know, in the Word of God we have hope. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ do we have any hope. Without Him, there is no hope. Those who don't know Jesus have no hope. That's why you see so many people out there floundering around. They don't know what to do. They're trying to fill the void in their lives somehow. You know, they might go out and get drunk or whatever, and they might look at things they shouldn't look at, or they might try to fulfill that void in their life with carnal acts of the flesh and so forth. They're trying to fill that void because they have no hope. They don't know what to do with themselves. Those who don't know God have no hope, but we have great hope in the Lord Jesus. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. You know, we shouldn't just begrudgingly read the Word of God, but we should delight ourselves in the Word of God, in His commandments. They should be a delight to us. We should be so thankful to have this Word and thankful to know what we must do to obey the Lord. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You see, we have a cause to hope. We have a reason to have hope. We have the Lord Jesus. We have His word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And this word does quicken our spirit. When we read the word of God, it comes alive in our hearts. And it does quicken our spirits. It makes us alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And you know, I can kind of understand what he's saying there, because you look around at some of the horrendous things people are doing out there, and it is a very horrible thing. It's a horrifying thing to see what people are doing, the prevalence of abortion, the brutality and so forth and all that, those things going on. It's horrifying, isn't it? And those things, those sins are being committed by the wicked, those that have forsaken the law of the Lord, His commandments, His word. Praise the Lord. And we are on verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Isn't that interesting how he talks about the house of his pilgrimage? In other words, he's saying he's a pilgrim. Just as we referenced earlier, we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. You know, we need to remember the Lord day and night, morning, noon, afternoon, evening, night. We must never forget the Lord. We need to keep His word every minute of every day. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. You know, there are going to be struggles that we face. Sometimes bad things are going to happen to us because we live in a fallen world. And that's a consequence of living in a fallen world. Sometimes horrendous bad things happen. But even when those things happen, we must not forget the Lord. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. And it is a joy to be around others who serve the Lord, others who worship God, others who keep his commandments and follow his precepts. That is a joy, to be around like-minded people. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. We see it's repeated over and over again in this poem, the importance of keeping God's word, of keeping his statutes, of keeping his commandments. And we see that reinforced over and over again in this psalm. Teach me, verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted and went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, sometimes the hard things we go through, we actually learn to trust the Lord during those times, and we grow stronger during the trials, during the hardship. When we're afflicted, sometimes, you know, we actually need that, so we cry out to God all the more. Some people, they only cry out to God when things are going bad. When things are going good, they forget the Lord. So sometimes it can actually be a blessing. I know it sounds strange, but it can be a blessing to be afflicted in some cases, because it inspires us to draw closer to the Lord. And that's what we all need to do. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And you know, God's word is far better than all the gold and silver in the world, all the riches of the world. And there are people out there who seek treasures in this world, but that's not what we need. We need treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And you know, that's something that a lot of people don't believe anymore today either. But God made each and every one of us. He designed us. He created us in the womb. We are the work of his hands. He is our creator. We didn't just come from nowhere. We're not just one big cosmic accident. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the work of God's hands. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Again, we need his law, his word, his commandments to be our delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. He makes that point again. When you follow the Lord, when you obey his commandments, when you have the word of God written upon the tables of your heart, when your sins are forgiven, when you've been baptized in his name, when your sins have been covered in his blood, When you stand before him, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Praise the Lord, and that is such a wonderful thing. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We have hope. As I said before, we have hope in this word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. What is he referring to there by being as like a bottle in the smoke? Well, we need to remember that back in this time period, their bottles, they weren't like our bottles. They weren't glass or plastic or anything like that. They were made of animal skins. And when the bottle would be empty, they'd hang it up in their homes, and it would, the fires in the homes and so forth, it would cause them to darken and they would get full of soot and so forth, and the smoke would cause them to shrink and wither up. And in other words, we see here the psalmist is expressing his frustration and his tiredness with some of the things that have been happening to him. But yet, even so, he's saying, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Even when things are tough, even when it seems like things are going wrong, we need to never forget God's word, his commandments, his statutes. Verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that's true, isn't it? The word of God is settled in heaven. There is nothing that can be done to take away the word of the Lord. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God is firmly established, and it is eternal. And we know that this world we're on today, it's not going to last forever. It will die. It will grow old like a garment. And one fine day, this world will come to an end, but he's made a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and we have that to look forward to. But the word of God, it is forever settled in heaven. It is eternal, and there's nothing that anyone can do to change that. I know there are people out there who hate the word of God, but it is forever settled in heaven, and there's nothing they can do about it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And this earth still abides to this day, but it won't last forever. We see other scriptures that tell us that this earth will not abide forever, but the next one will. That new heavens and that new earth. But yes, the Lord is faithful unto all generations, even unto this generation. He's still with us. He hasn't forsaken us. He's still faithful unto us. Praise the Lord. Verse 91, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And he says it again, the importance of never forgetting the precepts of God, the commandments of God, the word of God. Because that word comes alive in our hearts, and that word quickens us. It makes us come alive too. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And you know, when you study the Word of God, you are given great wisdom. And it might be astonishing to some people when God does give us wisdom. Wisdom isn't necessarily based on age. We'd like to think that those who are old, our elders, are always going to be wise. And in a lot of cases, that's true. But sometimes, you know, you've heard the old expression, there's no fool like an old fool. And there are people who are aging, getting up there in age, and they do foolish things and so forth and so on. But God can give us great wisdom. And that wisdom will be astonishing. And you might remember Solomon when he was becoming king of Israel. He was told by God that he could have whatever he wanted. And what did he ask for? He didn't ask for fame or wealth or treasures in this world. He wanted wisdom. And God told him, because you asked for wisdom, not only am I going to give you that wisdom that you desire, but I'll give you all those other things too. And he was greatly blessed. And you know, you read in the New Testament the words of the apostles and so forth, Peter and James and John in the book of Acts, and we see the wisdom that God gave them. They weren't learned men. They didn't participate in higher education. They were fishermen. Yet the Spirit of God spoke through them, and they had great wisdom because of that Spirit of the Lord, because they knew God's Word, because God's Word was alive in their hearts. They had wisdom. Verse 98, Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And that's true. We gain understanding when we study God's word, when we seek his guidance and his direction, when he quickens us. He does give us understanding. And when the Word of God is alive in your heart, when the Spirit of God is dwelling inside you, you will forsake every false way. You will hate every false way and all the wickedness of this world. Verse 5, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And now isn't it interesting how in the Gospel of John, in fact, verse 1, it tells us, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Scriptures also tell us in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So not only is he the Word, but he is the light. And in verse 105, we see, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is that Word, and Jesus is that light. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. You know, when we worship God, when we sing his praises, that's a freewill offering of our mouths. And you know, sometimes people might be a little embarrassed. They might think, I'm not a great singer. Well, you know what? None of us are. But when we sing and worship the Lord, you know, we may not be professionals, but it's a beautiful and it's a wonderful thing. And that is a free will offering of our mouths. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The testimonies of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the scriptures, they cause that rejoicing in our hearts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. How do we live? Where do we get that life? From the Spirit of God and from his word. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. What is dross? What does it mean there? What is that word referring to? Well, when they would melt down metals, gold and silver or whatever, to purify them, the waste material that was left over, that was called dross. So basically what dross is referring to there is the leftover garbage. And it's telling us in verse 119 that the wicked of the earth will be like dross. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Is anybody out there trying to make the law of the Lord void? The word of God void? I know it's interesting. The Ten Commandments, for example, you know, sometimes they'll want to erect a monument with the Ten Commandments in certain places, courthouses and so forth, or state capitals. There was actually one in the state of Oklahoma, and they had to take it down. Actually, controversy rose up because the Satanic Temple in New York City, they decided they were going to have this idol sculpted that features Baphomet, or Satan, and it has two little children looking up to him in awe, and they wanted to place this monument on the grounds at the Capitol in Oklahoma. And as a result of that, the Supreme Court said, okay, that's it, you can't have any religious monuments on those grounds, including the Ten Commandments. So they took that down. But we see there's a push out there to try to make the law of God void, his word void, but you can't do that because the word of God is forever settled in heaven and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, they could even try to take away Bibles, but I guarantee you that the word of God would endure, and he can even recall it to our minds if need be, because when we study the word, it's written on our hearts. But as long as we have this word, and we do have easy access to the scriptures, as long as we have this word, we need to study this word. We need to lay it to heart. Have it written on the very tables of our hearts. Therefore, verse 127, we're on. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. You know, the riches of this world, in the end, they're not going to matter anyway. You can't take it with you. All the money you might accrue, you can't take that to heaven. And even if you could, you wouldn't need it. It would be useless there. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful. They are wonderful, aren't they? When we see the wonderful things that God does. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. When that word of God comes into our heart, it gives us light in our hearts. Because Jesus Christ is the word and he is the light. And we need him in our hearts. We need that word to come in to our hearts to give us that light that we need. And when we do that, He will give us understanding and wisdom. Even if we might be considered simple by others, you know, I know I'm not the smartest man in the world by any means, but when we read the Scriptures, He does give us wisdom and He does give us understanding. And we should thank the Lord for that. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto these that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Rivers of waters, what it's referring to there would be tears. He's saying, I cry because of the evil things I see other people doing, the way they forsake thy law, the way they don't keep thy word. Verse 137, Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. You know, David, who wrote this psalm, he didn't have a lot of pride in his life, even though he was king of Israel. He's saying here, I am small and despised. And you know, we should all have that attitude that we're nothing special. In fact, we should esteem each other better than ourselves. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy truth is the truth. And thy law is the truth. Yes, the Word of God is the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth, and His law is established, His Word is established forever. It is everlasting righteousness. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding that I shall live, and I shall live rather. I cried unto my whole heart, Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He was meditating on the word of God day and night. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. As we mentioned earlier, the word of God is firmly established. Yes, heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. His word is eternal. Verse 153, Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I behold the transgressors and was grieved. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever, from the beginning and even unto everlasting. His word is true. Praise the Lord. And we know that not only is Jesus the Word, but He is the Word that was from the beginning and will endure even to the end. Verse 161, Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. We all have that hope for his salvation. And when we obey his commandments, when we follow his word, we are assured in his word of that salvation, that gift of salvation from the Lord Jesus. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. And at one time we were all as lost sheep, but he came and he sought us and he found us and he gave us that salvation that we desired, that we longed for. And now we have his word. And we read of that salvation. We're strengthened by his word, his testimonies, his precepts, his commandments. And we see from this psalm, Psalm 119, how important it is to read the word of God, to absorb the word of God, to study it, to learn of it, to let it quicken us, make us come alive. We have that Spirit of God that comes and dwells inside us and gives us wisdom and understanding and hope. And it fills us with the zeal of the Lord. That's why we must continue to study the Word. And that's why it's so important. Well, praise the Lord. That's Psalm 119. And it's a lot of verses, but we got through the whole thing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for that light that thou hast given us in our hearts. We thank thee that thy words can come alive in our hearts and quicken our spirits, that though we were once dead, we are made alive in thee by thy presence, by thy word, by the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for thy word, Lord, for we know that it is a gift from thee, a most holy gift. And we thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for the Psalms. We thank thee for Psalm 119. We thank thee for the assurances of thy word. And we pray, O God, that thy word would never leave us. But we ask that it would sink down deeply into our hearts and abide with us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst keep us on the paths of righteousness for thy name's sakes, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Be with us, guide us, and direct us in all things. And as we leave here today, let thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing a chorus, and one chorus in particular, oddly enough, just came into my mind, and we have not sang it in years, but it seems appropriate tonight. I just hope I can remember how it goes. Number 144 in the chorus book, Show Me Your Ways. And like I said, we have not sang this song in years. It may be 10, 15, maybe even 20 years ago. I don't know. It's been a very long time. But we're going to try it. And like I said, hopefully I can remember how it goes. 144. Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Praise the Lord. Well, you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.